As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
BSB OT Some Number, recording with my friend Gregory on a night after the New York Rangers went down 2-0, and then miraculously, thanks to their brave leader David Quinn, stormed back 5-2 to win against the Washington Capitals in a game that you would consider, if you were out there and hoping that the Rangers could make the playoffs, a must-win scenario. Greg, how are you today?
You know, we're what, 35 seconds into this podcast, and
we're not talking
about Francisco Lindor? Yeah. That seems a little ridiculous.
It does seem a little ridiculous. Let's get this out of the way. So we're recording this early for two reasons. Greg has opening night for the Mets, and I have second vaccine. I have second vaccine shot, and I expect to be sleepy boy.
I'm getting first shot tomorrow too.
Okay,
so I'm gonna be right there with you.
My experience from first shot is your arm is a little sore, and that's it. My experience, that's it.
Yeah, I know. Second shot horror stories are what I've heard the entire time. I'm expecting it to be like the tetanus shot, but you know, 90% worse probably.
Yeah, but it can't be worse than what you're going through right now with Francisco Lindor.
It's obviously not fun.
You're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, number one New York Rangers podcast. Started the Patreon. It's been great. Thank you for all the support. Now we're back to what matters. So
it'll be great when we have an episode just dedicated to Francisco Lindor living on the Patreon. People can really get their jimmies off. No, it sucks. But back to the Rangers.
Okay.
Speaking of things that suck.
Proud of you.
Not the Rangers, am I right?
Oh, yeah. Well, not Adam Fox either.
I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. I watched the game in spurts. Mm-hmm. I had movie night with some friends.
Yep.
I figured I'd watch a movie.
Yep.
Perfect Storm, for those wondering. George Clooney, Mark Wahlberg, classic.
That's exactly what happened with the New York Rangers, a perfect storm.
It was a perfect storm. The Rangers were the storm that sunk the Andrea Gale. That is the Andrea Gale that is the Washington Capitals. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't feel like playing the David Quinn game today. I really don't.
I'll do it for you. It's actually something I feel pretty strongly about right now. I know. Listen, it's just important for me to get this out of the way, right? That's it. Look, 1-2, and we'll move on with our lives. You have to give credit to David Quinn out there. If you slander him, you know who you are. Greg, we talk about them all the time. If you slander the man left, right, and sideways, when the Rangers are down 2-0, I'm ready for this game to be an absolute blowout. And yes, is the reason they stay in the game, Igor Shesterkin? Absolutely it is. But you have to give some credit to David Quinn for playing the correct lines and matchups and doing the right thing and getting his team motivated to score 5 unanswered goals against, we've said this before, but the Metro is very good and the Capitals can compete with any team in the league. Anybody, period. End of story. They're very, 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 very good. And Alex Ovechkin, you're never going to believe this, is a legend. And he tends to get shit done. The Rangers nullified the entire offense. Adam Fox continued to be just tremendous. Kapokako is getting hot, legitimately hot, for what seems the third time this season. And you have to give Quinn some credit for some of the matchups. He triple-shifted Kapokako. It happened. Kapo played on the first line on the left wing. He played on the kid line for a second, and then he went right back to Stroman and Panarin. He saw the goods. It's something we complained about all year, like, oh, he's not playing these kids more. Kako played more, and he played great. So what Lafreniere to get enough ice time? I'm sorry. There's not that much going around. Quinn did a great job last night. Just give him 2 cents. That's all I want to say. Get it out of the way.
Yeah, the problem is you're making that argument today where after practice, David Quinn says there just isn't room for Vitali Kravtsov in his lineup right now. So it's – I understand what you're saying. I don't disagree with you, but today's the first day where I'm super critical of David Quinn because I personally – I hate the hot hand fallacy. I don't think – Phil DiGiuseppe, short of him scoring a hat trick last night, and then if it wasn't Phil DiGiuseppe, it could be Colin Blackwell. But short of Phil DiGiuseppe scoring a hat trick last night, there's just no reason to allow someone like Phil DiGiuseppe to be the guy that remains in the lineup over Vitali Kravtsov. I understand that I'm probably talking about 8 minutes of ice time, and it's negligible in the grand scheme of things, especially with how David Quinn utilizes his bottom six in close games. He ignores it. We've seen it. It's why people complain about ice time all the time. But –
yeah,
I get the Rangers think. I get the Rangers. I get the Rangers think they're in a playoff race. I get that they're. It's not like Phil DiGiuseppe did anything wrong, but it. I like Phil DiGiuseppe. This isn't me coming off as someone.
No, we actually
criticizing
gave a lot of accolades to Phil DiGiuseppe at the beginning of the season.
He's very good, and I've enjoyed Julian Gauthier getting run with Hedl and Lafreniere, even though the metrics hasn't really liked that line very much recently. But I. Using a win, like if the Rangers lost that game 2-1, Phil DiGiuseppe could have done nothing wrong. Phil DiGiuseppe could have scored the one goal. I guarantee you Quinn makes the lineup change to get a different look in there for the New York Rangers. It's difficult. It drives me a little mad when any coach does it. And this isn't just a thing that happens in hockey. Right. Tom Thibodeau sticks with Elfrid Payton over guys like Emmanuel Quickley because the Knicks – have some success regardless of what Elfrid Payton does. The Mets not occasionally, the Mets will always go with whoever they deem the quote unquote hot bat. Doesn't matter who that bat is. Doesn't matter who that bat is getting more at bats over. If it's Dom Smith, if it's Jeff McNeil, if it's JD Davis, whoever it is, the Mets will always play the hot bat. Drives me bonkers. It's the longstanding argument in any sport. Is it, did the Rangers win because Phil DiGiuseppe was on the fourth line last night?
No.
Will the Rangers lose if Vitali Kravtsov subs in for Phil DiGiuseppe?
It's the Buffalo Sabres, so I hope not.
Yeah, it's impossible. It's an impossible game. I can't sit here and say that he's wrong, right? I think he's wrong, but the Rangers did win against a super talented Washington team that will probably finish first or second in the division this year, unless the Bruins catch fire
rip
all
it
of
off.
A sudden. And they might because they have about 27 games left with the Sabres. But I don't know. I can't sit here and say because the Rangers won 5-2 last night that Vitali Kravtsov needs to sit another game. That's a ridiculous statement.
I'm with you, but to counter your point, it's not really even a counter. It's just a fact. We've seen this over and over again with Quinn and every single coach in the NHL ever. If the Rangers lose last night, Vitali Kravtsov is playing on Thursday versus the Buffalo Sabres. Period. End of story. No questions about it. But since they won and they won in such a dominating fashion, whenever you win that way, when it's not close, when you just blow somebody out, it's like hockey, I don't know, what is it? What's the word for breaking tradition to just stick with it? What it is? You if you break it, it's sacrilege. There you go. I think I got that one right. Where it's, you had this team, they performed really well against a great team, you're not going to change anything from the lineup. So I expect Igor to start, I expect everything. Even though, and we'll get to this in a second, Igor is tremendous, and I think our good friend Larry, who we end up bringing up on every podcast, wrote a great article 6 days later after the clock was ticking for Igor today, saying the Rangers have to ride him, which they do. But if you're not going to start Georgiev against one of these Buffalo games, I have no idea when you're ever going to start him again. Truly, I have no clue. I see where you're coming from. I feel the frustrations. I want to watch Kravtsov.
So that's the thing. It's not even frustration, right? Like I'm not kicking and screaming.
I am frustrated, but I get why Quinn did it. I understand. I can read the lines as to why. He even said, I think this is important to say because we've made the Kravtsov jokes on the fourth line like a million times already. He said he's a third liner above player. I don't want to get him time on the fourth line. I was like, okay, well, let's play him. And then that's not happening probably till Saturday at this point, or maybe later.
Yeah, I don't know. All I'm saying is it's fair to be critical because we were out here saying Quinn himself said he wanted to get Kravtsov practices. Well, he practiced today, and that this this reached the threshold for Quinn saying he wanted to get his looks in with Kravtsov. So it's difficult. I don't think I'm giving off the impression that I am furious about it.
No, you are not. Trust me. But people listening to the show know that you are not furious.
Yeah, I just think it's totally fair to be critical of this one. And I appreciate what Quinn is saying in terms of Kravtsov needs to be a top nine player or bust, essentially. I agree. I can't say as much. I'm a big Julien Gauthier boy. There's no situation in which I think Gauthier should be eating up minutes that could rightfully go to Kravtsov. It's difficult. I don't know. I personally, it leaves a sour taste in my mouth when a coach just says, well, we won last night, so I can't change it. That's a fallacy that is just non-existent in sports. Non-existent.
It's true. It is sort of a gambler's fallacy. In the long run, Kravtsov will be part of this team, and Phil DiGiuseppe likely will not be. Or Kravtsov won't be here, and he'll be in Buffalo. And one of those two things is true. Those are the two outcome options for Vitali Kravtsov and on the New York Rangers, and we'll see exactly how that plays out. But the Capitals game, I think, was telling. The Rangers have a chance to make the playoffs here. They really do. It's going to be slim because the Bruins continue to win, and the Flyers are the Flyers. By the way, and I know we've talked a lot of Lane Mignot, that guy is a train wreck. A mess.
Oh, I love it.
I know. And I know we've talked a lot about Lane Mignot, and it's weird to talk about a former coach so often. It almost seems like we're obsessed with him. But Greg, some of the stuff that's come out has been like...
incredible.
He scratched his number two overall pick, and the reason why they wanted to get, quote-unquote, give Nolan Ryan a... was it Nolan Ryan? Nolan Ryan. Oh, my God. Nolan Patrick. I did it. Wow. I pulled the Sam Rosen. Unbelievable.
Excuse me. Nolan Ryan.
They wanted to give him a break.
1969 World Series champion with the New York Mets.
So they scratched, or rather they waived Ghost Bear, Gossis Bear, and to give them a day off? Are we kidding me? Bro, unbelievable. What he's doing to the Flyers right now is magnificent levels of destruction. Carter Hart, Gossis Bear, everybody. If I was a Flyer fan right now, I'd be jumping out the window. It would be. We couldn't even do this podcast, and we did it when Alain Mignot ran the Rangers. Unreal, dude. Truly. Holy shit.
Yeah, and I think it's worth touching on Gossis Bear because I'm a big believer that all that's missing is the system. I'm not saying he's like a system player, but we have mountains of evidence to suggest that Alain Mignot just doesn't know what to do with defensemen that play a more offensive style game. Mountains of evidence. I understand that Shattenkirk had a knee injury his first year as a Ranger, but it's not like Quinn was putting him in positions to succeed. We know what happened with Keith Yandel in the year and a half that he was here. We know what's happened. I get that Dan Boyle was on the tail end of his career, but Dan Boyle was a perfectly capable NHL defenseman until the year he came into Alain Vigneault's system. It is remarkable how Alain Vigneault sees a piece that doesn't quite fit his technique, and instead of trying to change his style, it's just the player's fault for not adjusting, and he casts that player to the side. I knew the Rangers couldn't claim Ghost. The money just doesn't work out. They would have had to find someone to take all of Brendan Smith's contract immediately, and it just wasn't going to happen, which honestly is fine. It is inexcusable that the Red Wings, the Senators, and the Kings allowed Ghost to spare to get through waivers, not just because for the contract is probably too much for a player of Gostis Bear's caliber, someone that in the perfect system is getting third pairing minutes while maybe seeing some power play time. Mm-hmm. $4.5 million, not what you should be paying for a player of that ilk, but there's a chance Gostis Bear turns it around and he can be once again a top four player. It's just a free roll of the dice, especially when he can easily be a guy you expose to Seattle, and Seattle would have to think long and hard about taking him in themselves.
Doesn't he only make like a million? I'm not a cap expert or a math guy or smart at all. Doesn't he only make like $1.5 million if something happens?
No, he makes – so his cap hits $4.5 million.
I know it's $4.5 million.
He makes $3.25 million.
Okay.
So it was right there for the Senators to save $1 million and change on quote-unquote real money. Just doesn't make sense not to take the chance.
Yeah, that's a player a couple years ago we were like scared of being in our division for many years. And I'm not a Shane Gossespierre expert. I'm truly not. I'm not an expert on anything. But from what I know, he's quite a serviceable player. And at $4.5 million, especially getting a discount, I was truly shocked when he passed through waivers today. But at the same time, I don't know what else I expected. It's kind of like dead dove in the bag. Arrested.
Am I shocked? Yeah, but at the same time, the NHL does everything possible on a daily basis to remind us that they have no idea how to use asset management.
It's crazy.
It's nuts. It's the other thing. Someone in our mentions today was like, "Well, I wonder if other teams would be interested in Gostisbehere if they were just to trade for him, and the Flyers were to eat money on the contract." All right. So why don't the Senators or Red Wings just take that? If there's trade interest for Gostisbehere, take the 4.5 and tell other teams you'll eat half of it. Those teams aren't going to be good for the next 2 years.
Yeah,
they know they're not.
It's good
in
asset
the case
management.
The Red Wings, they are openly admitting they won't be good for at least 3 to 4 years. Fine. There are ways for you to get more assets if you don't plan on being good for those years. And Gostisbehere, you can give him as many minutes as you want, and you don't care about the end result. You can just, if he's cooked, you can find out for sure. And you have the cap space to eat that contract. And if it turns out he's not cooked, but teams are uncomfortable trading for $4.5 million worth of Shane Gostisbehere, eat the 50%, eat the $2 million in change, and get a better asset in a trade. This isn't rocket science. I'm not saying I'm smarter than NHL GMs, but I see this. I understand this.
You could buy a draft pick with Gostisbehere, I think, pretty easily. I really do.
Yeah. The Rangers got a fourth for Brendan Lemieux. Shane Gostisbehere will give more value.
The Rangers got a second for Mark Stahl. Like,
no, they didn't. No, they traded a second with Mark Stahl.
They traded a second with Mark Stahl. My apologies.
Yeah.
Oh, oof.
Yeah. Psychopath.
Psychopath. That would have been insane.
But I think Shane Gostisbehere will provide more value to whichever team he goes to next than Brendan Lemieux over the next 2 years.
Fact.
The Rangers got a fourth round draft pick for Brendan Lemieux.
That's not even close. That's not even an argument. I don't know why the Mark Stahl. I don't know how I thought the Rangers got value from Mark Stahl. Getting off his contract was the value. My apologies to everybody out there. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about Dom Alphabet Suits, kind of Norris rankings and stuff like that. We'll be right back. Transition.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
And we're back. Okay. I don't know if you saw this on The Athletic today, a place we do hang out at pretty often. Dom Lucician had his award ceremonies for where we are in the season. Not going to believe this. Adam Fox, first in the Norris. Also, I believe he's eighth for the Hart. Why did it only take 2 weeks of great hockey to everyone to realize? I don't understand.
I don't think everyone's realized.
I
think Dom's realized, but...
Well, Dom is smart.
As we've seen, Dom has different opinions than mainstream hockey media.
But Dom is mainstream.
Just because Dom sees the value, just because Marat saw the value last year, there's a reason why Marat was the only one.
Marat's the truth, bro. Really.
I think we need to be careful about people we interact with, people we follow, giving Adam Fox the love.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean Adam Fox is giving the love around the league. Like at this point, I'll believe it when I see it. I expect Dom to say that Adam Fox deserves Norris because, again, Dom watches the game in a similar way that we do, where he's evaluating everything that Adam Fox is doing, and it's not just looking at his point totals. But again, Adam Fox, what's he up to now? 12 points in his last five games.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Something?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and he had another great goal last night. He's
insane
a great
goal.
Hockey player.
Insane goal.
But the games where Adam Fox doesn't show up on the score sheet doesn't mean that Adam Fox is having a bad game. He does something every night that helps the New York Rangers win. And I don't know what it'll take. I mean, I do know what it'll take for national media to recognize him. It'll take something like a point per game pace. It's just the way the mainstream hockey media evaluates defensemen is broken. But then again, a lot of the way mainstream hockey media evaluates anything about the game is broken. I don't want to see people using plus minus to justify a player's worth or ability or talent on a given season. I don't want them saying that points matter for defensemen. I don't want when you ask a mainstream hockey writer to think critically and to think outside of the box, they're challenged a little bit. And quite honestly, it's refreshing to see someone like our friend Rick Carpinello speak so glowingly of Adam Fox, because we love Rick. Rick will be the first one to tell you that he's an old head. Adam Fox on a nightly basis makes Rick reconsider what value is for defensemen. The problem is we can't make everybody watch the Rangers on a nightly basis.
That's true. And I don't blame them for not doing it. I understand. This is a weird year because you don't get to see these wonderful players from other divisions. Like I truly, we've said this before, I have no idea what's going on in the West. I saw Eric Karlsson eat an apple the other day and say I've been better player than this. But I haven't seen any of his play the entire year. I have no idea if he's good or not this year. I only know his name. That's it. That's all I know. In this situation, the Rangers go the next two games against the Buffalo Sabres. One of them on April Fool's. We expect two wins, hopefully. Do we want them just to win tonight versus the Flyers so that, you know, and it's a back-to-back for the Buffalo Sabres if I am correct. So, if the Rangers lose one of these games, actually, I'm not going to be that mad. It's very Rangers for the Rangers to lose against Buffalo Sabres in one of these next two games. I just don't see it happening in any scenario because the best chance the Buffalo Sabres had was when they were up 3-0 against the Flyers, and the Flyers came back. I don't know if Buffalo wins another game this season, and I don't know if I'm kidding, which is insane. Where do you stand on Buffalo versus Rangers? And is it the end of the world if the Rangers lose in the next 2 days?
Well, five Nationals have been diagnosed or
yep.
deemed close contacts with COVID. Honestly, I don't worry. I really don't worry about it. I know what Twitter's going to look like if the Rangers lose one of these games to Buffalo. The thing is, Buffalo, as bad as they are, and they are
bad.
Horrendous.
Yeah.
They're not going to keep losing forever.
They can't. It's statistically not possible. They have to really turn one on like that. It's going to be tough because it's a back-to-back. Like this is tonight's their national televised game with the Flyers at 7:30 as we're recording this. So by the time you listen to this, you'll know what happens with the Buffalo Sabres. So that's bad podcasting on our side.
I am rooting for the Sabres tonight. I would prefer if the Sabres got it out of the way before they played.
Especially
the
if it was against Alain Vigneault. It's a win-win situation for us here at Blue Shirt.
Yes,
Freeway.
And huge. Especially considering the moves the Flyers have made in the last 24 hours in order to, quote-unquote, make their team better, even though, I don't know, it didn't make their team better. You could say it categorically made their team worse. It's tough. But if the Rangers... I think it's important to remember everything about the New York Rangers. Number one thing is they are the youngest team in hockey. There is no team younger than the New York Rangers. When you're the youngest team in hockey, consistency is hard to come by. We've seen the Rangers be world beaters. We've seen the Rangers, for some reason, not show up on a given night. We've seen the Rangers not show up on a given night against the Buffalo Sabres this year. I don't think you can take anything away from these two games. If the Rangers win both, if the Rangers split them, if the Rangers lose both, I at first brush, I don't think there's a significant takeaway. The Rangers will be heavily favored in both games, which is going to be different for them. But no, I'm not apprehensive. I'm not worried. I don't know if it's just because it's just that time of year where I'm honestly distracted by other things. So I'm not 100%.
I think we've just also been in the mindset level. The entire season that the Rangers would have a very hard time making the playoffs. And even now, you know, I think they had to win their last couple. They've been playing very well I've been very happy with how the New York Rangers have performed. I know the whole weekend was a disaster. The Rangers probably would have had to win one of those two games. They did not. And Boston's going to have to slow down. It's going to be really tough.
I mean, we're talking about how bad the Flyers have been, and there's a realistic chance that the Rangers could finish ahead of the Flyers, but you'd still need the Bruins to also continue on the current track that they are on. And
oh, man, I'm looking at the standings right now.
I don't see it happening. The Bruins have three games in hand on the Rangers, and they're still five points ahead.
Yeah, it's a lot, man.
Yeah, the Flyers being as bad as they are makes us all kind of sit up a little bit and go, oh, that's certainly interesting. But it's not just the Flyers that have to keep playing like trash. And while I think the Flyers will, Rangers need a lot of help. The Bruins have only played 32 games. They've won 18 of them. It's not like the Bruins, even if the Bruins play 500, the Rangers will have to play something like
the Bruins are in single digit regulation losses. That's a really good team, man. Damn.
The Rangers themselves will have to play something like 700 hockey to catch the Boston Bruins. And that, even if the Rangers, even if this wasn't a
couple
COVID Kako's
going to have to go world beater, become everything he's ever been.
Not just Kako. I mean, as much as we all love Igor, he can't play every game. And as much as we love Keith, Georgiev will need to play like an actual hockey goal, NHL caliber goalie.
Yep.
If the Rangers want to win at a 700 clip, because it just, Igor could go undefeated in his games. It's still going to matter what the Rangers do on nights when Igor isn't playing.
I know. And can Ryan Strome stay this hot? Really, truly. He's playing the best hockey of his career right now. And he's been the most consistent center on the team. Okay. And it's hard to imagine him staying as hot as he has over the past 10 games. I think he's a 10-game point streak right now? Unbelievable stuff from Ryan Strome after we spent the beginning of the year just slandering him up and down for missing every net possible. If he hits some of those nets, he'd be having one of the best seasons of any player in the NHL this year.
It's worth talking about. One of the Thorora brothers, good friends of the show, both of them, asked us today, at what point do we stop putting Ryan Strome in trade offers and admit that he's probably as good of a 2C as you could expect the Rangers to acquire? Honestly, it's a fair question. Strome's making it hard for me to sit here and say that the Rangers can do better than him.
I agree totally right now. And the other thing is he's proven it without Panarin. Like, Panarin was gone, and he still played like this.
The real question is, I guess, if the Rangers think they can get a first-round pick for Ryan Strome, I still say trade him. I'm not overly worried about that. I'd also say if the New York Rangers were trying to acquire a more talented center, someone like Jack Eichel, Ryan Strome's doing a hell of a lot for the Rangers to be like, we will take this guy and we're giving you a proven top six quantity back in return. So Ryan Strome's doing Ryan Strome's making it to a point where, would I trade Ryan Strome for someone like, not necessarily Eric Staal because the age wouldn't match up,
but right,
a middle six center currently playing for a different team? Would I trade him for – boy, this is hard. I'm really trying to think of –
yeah, I don't have a good example right now because Strome's contract is with only the 1 year left, or the year and a half is
– yeah, but this is one of the moments where the bridge is actually working in the Rangers' benefit, because they can dangle him in trades and possibly get someone they like more in return. Again, the contract doesn't make sense, but like – The caliber of a J.G. Pageau, a guy we like to talk about on this show. Mm-hmm. I think Strome is better than Pageau. I do. Would I want to trade Strome for that caliber of center? No. But if I'm getting – it's not that there's a limited window of players I'd trade him for. I think there are – I don't think Strome's one of the top 50 centers in the NHL, even with the ridiculous pace that he's on right now. And he's playing great. It's no knock on him. He is making the Daniel Murphy comparison totally apt, because we reached a point with Daniel Murphy where Met fans had to come to terms with would you want Murph long-term? Would you want Murph as your second baseman for a while? And the fan base was 50-50, and then Murph left and became an MVP, and the fan base ate itself alive. It's tough. I can't sit here and say for sure. I know that if the Rangers had a chance to get Jack Eichel, I would put Ryan Strome in that trade. No question about it. And I think that it Ryan Strome is playing himself into an ability where the Buffalo Sabres might actually be interested in Ryan Strome. I don't think you could ever sell Ryan Strome as like the second coming of Jack Eichel to your fans, but you could at least tell your fans like, here's a guy who's had over 100 points in the last two seasons. He's no slouch. He can actually do something for us. He's a guy that can help us win sooner. But if the Rangers were just looking for a sideways move with Ryan Strome, I think he's outplayed that value.
I will say this. If there was ever a first offered for Ryan Strome, there wasn't. They would have taken it. It absolutely would have happened. And I think they got offered a second and maybe a prospect, and that wasn't good enough for them. They wanted the first, and I don't blame them whatsoever.
I don't know if they even got a – I think they would have taken a second for him if it was offered. I really don't think they got any – I think they might have gotten the Eric Staal offer that
the
we saw.
The third and the fifth?
The third and a fifth.
No, yeah, Strom's just too much value otherwise.
But we also have to remember that there was a chance there where the New York Rangers were just going to walk away from
there
Ryan
was
Strome
a couple
entirely.
Of days where Strome wasn't just going to be like – they were just
a free agent.
Yeah. That was it.
So it's tough. I think Ryan Strome has done enough and has earned enough respect from Ranger fans and even us. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to pop jokes off when he misses an open net because the memes are too good.
The jokes are too good. That's for sure.
The jokes are too good. It's difficult. It's a fair question. If the Rangers think they can get Jack Eichel, Ryan Strome will 100% be involved in that trade. And I do think there's a class of center you trade Ryan Strome for that is a clear upgrade. But it's getting harder and harder to think of trading Strome just for – I think we're at a point now where I don't think I'd trade him for future assets because, one,
Well, if he's gone, who's
the first-round pick?
Like, Hedl hasn't really been himself since he broke his hand, and I think that is really evident, seriously. He can't take faceoffs. I think his wrist shot's been a little different. Yeah, he had that beautiful, beautiful breakaway, but he hasn't been the same player we thought he was going to be at the beginning of the year. And he's healing from an injury that's very serious. And now Mika Zibanejad's come back to where he was, for sure. You need the center depth. It's really important. Those three guys are super important to your team. I'm holding on to Ryan Strome all of next year, especially if we're making a playoff push. We'll figure it out. Maybe we can offer him a deal that he'll accept. We're going to have a lot of conversations over the next couple months about giving Adam Fox a deal and giving Igor Shesterkin a deal and a lot of other players we love deals and how the cap's going to work. And we're definitely getting a hockey stat miner on for those. So we'll have to talk it all out. But before we get out of here, Gregory, this is the last time we'll talk on record before the season starts for the Mets. And there's no negotiating at that point. Does it get done?
Boy. No, I think we're thoroughly cooked at this moment. Do I think it means that Lindor will not be a Met come Christmas of next year? No, I think enough work has been done where either Lindor has an MVP caliber season and the Mets meet his demand, or Lindor doesn't quite explode the way he thought he would being in New York and he meets the Mets demand. I don't think come opening day 2022, Francisco Lindor will be a New York Met. I'm pretty still very confident about that. The Mets got to December with David Wright when he was a free agent. They didn't sign Mike Piazza immediately to an extension when they traded for him. Jacob DeGrom went down to the wire for opening day before the Mets got a deal done with him. I'm not worried about Lindor not being a Met. I am stunned that they're not getting anything done before the season began, just for the free publicity that it would have been. But no, I'm going to be upset about it for a couple weeks, and then Lindor is going to be great, and I'm sure every week I'll be reminded that he's not extended yet, but the Mets will at least be winning, hopefully.
Hopefully.
I took over 90.5.
I know.
I have Schmeckles on that. I should say, this is a little teaser. We have a new thing coming for our Patreon subscribers called Gambling with Greg, where I'm going to introduce you all to my lifestyle of a gambler. But there are four other teams that I have over-under bets on. I like the Marlins over 71.5. I don't think they're a playoff team, but I think they're better than – they're not going to lose 90 games. They're too good. I don't think they're like a star-level team. I don't think they're going to be a 500 team. But I have a hard time believing that Marlins team is going to lose 90 games. I like the over on the A's. I think they're the best team in the AL West. Their number was 86.5. I'm a big fan of that number. I like the under on the Blue Jays. I don't understand the hype.
I don't get it either.
They're already down Springer.
Yep.
They're already down Robbie Ray. Once you get past Ryu in that rotation, that's a lot of Steven Matz. And I'm a guy who watched a lot of Steven Matz. The lineup is going to be good regardless of who's in it. But you're not going to win every game 10-9. So I don't think they're going to win 87 games this year. And I also took the Reds under. I think they're going to blow it up at some point this season. Even if they're playing 500 baseball, I think at some point Castillo might get traded. Sonny Gray might get traded. Suarez might get traded. I think that team gets broken up. So I don't see them playing over 500 baseball this year. And those are the four I feel best about, for sure.
I love it. One day again, we'll do some over-unders. Maybe we'll do an MLB preview in a couple weeks. Who knows? Stay tuned, everybody.
Oh, I'm very excited. I'm very excited for it.
Stay tuned, everybody. That's BSBOT for today. We love you guys. Thanks for supporting us on Patreon. It means a huge difference to Greg and I. A lot of big announcements to come in the next couple weeks. Follow me on Twitter at @OverIMean. Follow Greg at Bleacher's Break. We'll be back next Tuesday morning. Love you guys. Bye.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.